You learn a lot from just finishing your book. A lot of people give up halfway through or really early. They never finish it. If you finish a story, you gain a lot of information, especially if you can set the story down and then come back and read it, you know, like a week or two later. You'll start to see how the story came together and where you can improve it. It doesn't matter if it's perfect yet. You can make it perfect later. You should just finish it.
This is the Crit RPG Podcast, your one-stop shop for everything Lit RPG, Progression Fantasy, and Royal Road. Hi, and welcome to the Crit RPG Podcast, the only podcast that is one out of two in a full set. With me today is Shami Stovall, who has written a crap ton of stuff. So I don't even know where to start. Like, yeah, like Frith Chronicles, Half-Life Empire, which you should all read. Primarch Warlock, and so on and so forth. So yeah, Shami, who are you?
You're right. My name is Shami Stovall. I used to be an attorney. Now I am an author. I also used to be a history professor. And if you go back even further, I used to work at a Blockbuster, right? So... I did all the things. I love telling stories. I got started because I was a dungeon master for like D&D, and all my players basically were like, whoa, your stories and characters fucking blowing our minds. You should write books. And I did. My husband, super duper encouraging, super amazing. He supported me the entire way. Emotionally and then later financially, because what happened is that being an attorney sucks and I quit. Nobody goes to an attorney if they're having a good day. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. Being an attorney totally blows. I quit and focused just on learning how to write a good book and how to write a good story. I went to many conferences, read tons of articles about writing, took it very seriously. And then when I started making a ton of money, my husband quit. And now he also is an author and no longer has to be a terrible attorney. So that's it. I don't know if that's an inspirational story, but it is a story.
Not saying that your husband was a terrible attorney, but that the job of the attorney is terrible.
Yes. My husband used to work in dependency, which is the law where they take children away from parents. Usually because the parents were drug addicts or physically abusing the children in such a way that they need to be removed. So if you want to talk about a depressing branch of law, that's what he did. So it's really great that he got out of that, right?
Yeah, he became independent.
I find it a little funny because when I was younger, before I was 18, I grew up in a really bad situation. I was super poor and like lived in a car for a while, or we didn't have food, you know, things like that. And it probably would have been appropriate for the government to take me away from my mother, but that never happened. So occasionally me and my husband talk about, you know, hopefully one day we will adopt a child in need. But that's, you know, that's a thing in the future. But yeah, we have many connections, one of which is poor kids. Because I used to be one and he used to help them. So
yeah, it was awesome. I found that many authors in the Lit RPG community have adopted, especially if they're named Sean. right? So
does Sean Oswald have adopted children?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
Sean
Wilson too. They have the same amount of kids and the same amount of them that are adopted. It's quite funny.
That's adorable.
And they both write at the same speed. It is insane. They could be the same person, but they're not. Hopefully. But yeah.
Little do you know, they are the same person.
They're just like they're even more powerful than we all imagined. Like they're writing like double the speed. Yeah.
He has a pen name and it's just almost exactly the same as his real name. Ingenious, actually.
Yeah. It's like no one will notice. They're never in the same room, so who knows? Okay, actually, before we get into talking about your books, I have one more question that you kind of cut into, and that is, you spend a lot of time going to conferences and reading and learning how to write books. How long did that take, by your estimate?
I mean, I guess if you want to say since I first started trying to write, which was in law school, I would say it was 6 years. I didn't seriously start like writing full time until like a year after being an attorney. But when I was in law school, I went to these conferences. I wrote a couple books. You made a joke earlier about getting all the bad words out, quote unquote. But I wrote several books that I've never published. I just really liked them, you know, like they were passion projects. And so I did those. They were fun. And then I started writing for real. I started taking it really seriously, really studying the 3-act structure. You know, what makes a really good character arc? What makes really good characters? What makes compelling dialogue? You know, that kind of stuff. So, things that are kind of boring to just randomly talk about in conversation. But, you know, I studied them pretty hardcore.
This is a writing podcast. You can let it all out.
Okay, yeah. We can talk about it for days then, man. You want to, yeah. If you have certain questions, go ahead and hit me with them.
I that's what I'm doing. Now we have like, this is like supposed to be like kind of like a balance, right? So like readers can get to know you better a little bit more, and authors can also get their fix of like, what the fuck am I doing? Because those sort of things interest me. Who are you as a person? And also, what the fuck am I doing? And can you help me, please? And I have about 67 of these recorded already, and I still need more. Okay, so, well, with that being said, let's talk about your books. So, any book you want to talk about, why and how that book?
I guess I would start with the Frith Chronicles, because I think I'm the most known for the Frith Chronicles. It is. I pitch it as Pokemon meets Harry Potter. I really, really, really like monster catching anything. Pokemon, Digimon, Monster Rancher, Azure Dreams. It's a pretty deep cut. But I don't know why, I guess. Like, there's no, you know, I wasn't saved by a dog when I was younger, and now I love animal companions. This is just a... I have always really been fascinated by the idea. I think the Digimon anime was probably one of my favorites when I was younger. It was fun. You know what I'm saying? Like fun in a way that a lot of other shows were not. I guess it's an isekai in all seriousness, because a bunch of kids get sucked into the digital world and now they got to survive all these fucked up monsters. And so that's really fun. So when I was doing the Frith Chronicles, when I started with Nightmare Arcanist, I had an idea. Where the main character would bond with a nightmare, which is like an empty suit of armor made of shadows. And the nightmare would want to get revenge. Like it had a goal to kill someone. And the someone it wants to kill is actually the main character's like hero, like the icon that he's always looked up to. So that was a fun twist. I thought it was really awesome. I wanted a world in which if you have a favorite magical creature, it technically exists. So in the Frith Chronicles, whatever magical creature you could possibly imagine, it's somewhere in my universe. So if you like Yetis, you know, that's your favorite magical creature. Don't worry, there's Yetis. You can bond to any magical creature, and depending on the creature you bond to determines the type of magic you get, right? So if you bonded to a Yeti, you would have control over snow, or maybe you can evoke ice or manipulate the weather, or you know, things like that. The main character is bonded to a nightmare. Like I said, it's like a shadow suit of armor, so he has like control over shadows. He can shadow step, he can evoke like terrors to frighten people, like fear effects, those types of things. One of his good buddies is bonded to a phoenix, so they've got like firepower and healing, you know, like that kind of stuff. Super love all that kind of awesome bullshit, and there's lots of cool fights. There's technically an arcane plague that's running around that if a magical creature catches it, they turn into a monster, and I call them dread forms of certain creatures. So, you know, if you had a normal unicorn, a dread form unicorn is like a super monstrous and powerful version of it. So that's also
it's
fun.
It's a shiny rare.
Yeah, well, I have true forms as well. So if you bond to a creature and you exemplify certain virtues or complete a certain task, they can transform into their true form. And then they're also ultra powerful. So you can see how Shammy really likes Pokemon and Digimon. when I designed this entire thing. And I think my passion completely translates to the page. Like I said, I think it's my most popular series. People really, really like it. They really gravitate towards it. I've now, you know, by the time this comes out, I guess I will have completed 2 Kickstarters for super special editions of the series. It's being turned into a comic book, you know, like all this kind of stuff. So it's cuckoo ka-choo. If we're not talking about the Frith Chronicles, I have decided that my author career is going to be on hard mode literally all the time.
Shout out to K novels, by the way. Dude, go ahead. Finish, please.
I don't think I write in the same genre twice, if that makes any sense. Like, nice. when I got famous, it was for YA fantasy, because the Frith Chronicles is YA fantasy, right? And then when I wrote my next book, it was like a sci-fi. And then when I wrote my next book, it was like a lit RPG. And then when I wrote my next book, it was an urban fantasy. Like, I'm never going to... I mean, that's not true. I'll totally return to the same genre. But so far... I don't return back to the same genre. And so that's like a big no-no in the author community. They're like, you should pick a genre and you should just write in it forever. You should just write in, you know, if I was a YA fantasy author, I should just only write YA fantasy, you know, like that kind of thing. But I can't stop myself. I have these ideas for these stories and I just want to write them down and I'm going to do it. I don't give a shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah, author hard mode, activate.
Usually, this is where I would ask, well, have you tried real hard mode? And that is, you know, writing female-led sci-fi. But you have.
I don't have a female-led sci-fi. Even my Starmark Rising, which has who has the lady captain? She's not the main character. The main character is a dude.
Okay.
So... I actually prefer to write male main characters. I have female main characters in some of my books, like my Ethereal Squadron, which is set in World War I.
Half-Life Empire is not sci-fi?
Oh, Half-Life Empire is, yeah. Okay, yeah, Kida is female, sorry. I thought you were talking about Starmark.
No, I mean, yeah.
No. Kida is female. I guess that is the hard mode. She's like an engineer, right? Like more like a computer programmer, but she does a lot of stuff with her hands because it's kind of post-apocalyptic. It's like futuristic post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
I think we gotta real quick untangle all the series that you do have in like quick one-liners because like right. As you said, you write across many different genres, and I think it's important to me that people know.
All right.
What
well,
of
then
yours is out there?
I have the Ethereal Squadron, which I guess is like Mulan for World War I. The premise is that there's magical sorcerers who fought in World War I, and they do secret tasks. Main character is a lady who pretends to be a man and joins the sorcerers. Mm-hmm. I have Starmark Rising. That's the mercenaries in space. Who are going to fuck up a whole bunch of people, and the captain really wants to be on par with the superhuman. Mm-hmm. I have the Frith Chronicles, Pokemon meets Harry Potter. I have the Nexus Games, which is a lit RPG where the main character gets sucked into a death game world, basically, and has to compete in a series of games in order to win. All of the games are which based off of very common video game quests, you know. Nice. What I'm saying? So it's pretty fun type of story. I have the Half-Life Empire, which is Fallout meets Aliens, because I super love the Fallout games. I love things like Power Armor, you know, that kind of bullshit. And then I have Time Marked Warlock, which is about a warlock who has made a bond with Kronos so he can rewind time up to 24 hours. And he uses his rewind time in order to catch criminals and, you know, be a private investigator, like that kind of thing. I think those are all my books that have been published by series.
I might have forgotten.
I mean, the series all have multiple books in them. Technically, Astra Academy is a part of the Frith Chronicles. It's more of these Arcanist books. So.
Yeah, okay. I'm looking. I'm looking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nope. Yeah, that should be all of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even know about the Ethereal Squadron.
Yeah, well, the Ethereal Squadron is another one of those where I think like 20 guys have ever read it.
Yeah.
I have a history degree and I really like World War One, so I was like, I'm gonna write a fantasy about World War One. But you know, nobody likes World War One, so
yeah, especially people who were in it. have you read Rivers of London?
Oh, the urban fantasy?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I love that one too.
Yeah, and that's good.
There were parts of it where they talk about like World War II and stuff like that, right? So,
well, World War II is the popular war. Everybody likes World War II. We want to talk about World War II.
I'm German. I did not like World War II.
I mean, it's popular in the sense that people know about it. People know what happened. Yes. People really like some of the warfare techniques that were used. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whereas in World War I, nobody likes the warfare tactics.
Because no one won.
Yeah, well, yeah, because it was a shit show. World War I is like a complete embarrassment for everybody that was involved.
Yeah.
Like, just horrific, terrible what was happening here. That's why it's not popular. I like it because I felt like some of the military tactics were at least mildly interesting. And things like toxic gas being used in war is like the worst thing ever. And that people trying to use like gases in trenches were very scary to me. In my Ethereal Squadron books, I have like a magical gas that causes people to meld together or like melt and become monstrous.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
Yeah. Yeah, this is exactly the kind of shit that someone should write when they're writing World War One like fantasy.
Yeah, it's definitely like a oh shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, you know, like the tanks were basically just like armored cars with like a turret on top of them. Like no one knew what they were doing. Like no one knew what they were doing.
Oh, it's yeah.
Like, yeah. We got planes now. Can we shoot people out of it? Probably.
Dude, exactly.
And then they fly and they're like, they didn't synchronize the gunshots to the rotor so that like they would shoot their own rotors off.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
One of the things I put in the book, because I thought it was funny, is that a lot of the British officers who were used to, you know, what they learned in their academy, and their academy only taught them, you know, shit from before World War One, they always came out onto the battlefield wearing shiny hats and shiny boots, and they'd be atop horses because, and so the German snipers would just target them, shoot them dead immediately, they'd be out there the first day and they would die. Yeah. And despite that, they still insisted on doing that for a while up until the death toll got so high that they had to stop. But I wrote that in the first Ethereal Squadron book where the main character spots a British officer getting shot immediately. All that kind of stuff makes me laugh. World War I is a shit show. Just great.
Absolutely. Holy cow. And like... Okay, those are all of your books kind of like outlined right there. Do you want to talk about Tymark Warlock real quick?
Yeah. You know,
kind of like what went into like designing it, what went into making it?
I really like the idea of people bonding with magical creatures. Obviously, in the Frith Chronicles, we kind of had that. In Tymark Warlock, warlocks can bond up to 5 different magical beings. And then they can get their powers, and depending on where they bond them to, they can get different types of powers. So the main character is bonded with Kronos, and he can rewind time, but he's also bonded to an Ifrit, however you would like to pronounce that. So he also has super strong fire abilities, and that's specifically because he has a grudge with a bunch of witches, and witches are weak to fire, lol.
As one does.
Yeah. In the book, he bonds to a mischief spirit as well and then gets mischief abilities such as to avoid cameras and unlock doors.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like the magic system of like being able to mix and match, get different powers, make packs with creatures based on the needs that you have. So he makes a bond with the mischief spirit because he specifically needs to sneak around in buildings. And I really like that as a concept, right?
Mm-hmm.
I really like urban fantasies, like along the lines of the Dresden Files or, you know, Rivers of London. There was also the Iron Druid, which was a lot of fun, yeah. Right? So I like those types of stories. I don't know if you're aware of this, but a lot of urban fantasy right now is more like paranormal romance, like where it's yeah. a lady.
Everything is paranormal yeah. romance right now.
Yeah, everything is paranormal romance. So I was a little bummed out that everything is paranormal romance. So I decided to write. You know, the stuff that I wanted to see.
And now they're coming for us.
No, oh, they're coming for us.
Ilona Andrews is writing a lit RPG. They already finished, actually. They're going to be published next year.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Awkward. I don't know if that's going to work out for them. I've read female romance that's targeted for female audiences. I always feel a little weird because I feel like I don't like them that much. I see the tropes. I see what they're doing. I see the character interactions because they, if you read enough of them, you start to see, you know, the similarities, right? This comparative analysis. And it's not my jam, and I don't see a lot of lit RPG readers being like, man, I can't wait for this.
Could you see a lot of Ilona Andrews readers go like, oh shit, yeah, power fantasy, and then switch over to like, you know, Prime Hunter?
I thought that lit RPG, specifically different from game lit and all this other kind of stuff, is that there were numbers. Mm. You know, there's a system. And there's numbers. Did she write a book with a system and numbers?
I don't know because I haven't read it yet. But it's a couple, right? So Ilona Andrews are like, they're like husband and wife. And they write books together, basically. And you can always like kind of tell who's in the lead. So, I like them. They're good books. Like I was talking to Alex Gilbert about this like the other week. And we both really enjoy these kind of kick-ass women power fantasies. I mean, obviously, because Journey of Black and Red, right? And I read them a lot when I was like 25, 24, that sort of way, because I came via Harry Dresden, right? I came via Harry Dresden, and then I read all those, first the really good ones, and then the kind of like okay ones. But I don't know. I like them. I like the urban fantasy books too, but also romanticy is also suddenly a big thing. Like Fourth Wing just like kind of made the entire thing super super popular.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Basically, well,
see,
my question.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that lit RPG involves those systems and numbers, and I don't see a lot of fantasy readers being like, "Oh man, you know what? I can't wait to see in my book numbers." As a matter of fact, most people, normies, you know, who I've been like, here's a lit RPG, are like, dude, I don't want to read that. It's got like weird stats and shit in them, and you know, my eyes glaze over. So I assume that lit RPG will probably remain a mostly male dominated space, because I think a lot of female, because let's just be frank, most people who read romance are women. Like there are some men, I'm not saying that there aren't, you know what I'm saying? And there are some women who read lit RPG. I'm not saying that there aren't, but the majority of the romance readers are women, and the majority of them don't want the like video game side of it, really, the gamer side of it. They don't mind the power fantasy. I don't know if you read a whole lot of like romanticism and stuff like that. I mean, even in Fourth Wing, the main character is like a bookish girl. They have to go bond with dragons. Everybody gets a cool dragon, but she gets two dragons because she's just that. She's just that amazing, you know, like that kind of thing. So even in romance, they're all power fantasies. They're all crazy wish fulfillment. You know, she's just so awesome and special. She got two, so you can go fuck yourself. it's not that they don't understand that. It's that they don't want the dragons to then have a leveling up system. You know what I'm saying? They don't want a system to be talking to them.
I get you. And I'm thinking about like Way of Kings, Brandon Sanderson's stuff, because that's also a power like a progression fantasy, like it's just a very very slow one, right?
Dude, but it's the same with Brandon Sanderson. He goes into a lot of the details and the magic, even the first chapter of the Way of Kings, not the pre-prologue, But the actual, like, the one where the assassin kills the king. Okay, that chapter is phenomenal. But I liked it because it's super details. This guy's magic. Okay, when he tethers shit and changes, you know, almost changes gravity. But you know what I'm saying? Like, and then he fights the asshole who's wearing his fucking armor, the king. And they have a crazy duel, and it's mostly about describing how his magic works with this other guy's magic. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, that kind of stuff isn't found a whole bunch in romantasy and fantasy, because they don't give a shit about that. Okay? You know, it's not like I've read tons, but I've read enough to know what the vibes of whether or not it's popular. Have you read Fourth Wing?
Nope.
Oh, okay,
but I've
yeah.
heard enough about it to know what it's about.
Okay, well then you knew she had bonded with two dragons, right?
Yeah.
And when you bond with a dragon, it gives you like a singular power, right? Like that's what you get from the dragon.
Paltry.
But it is kind of in lit RPG terms. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot about lit RPG is collecting powers and skills and powering them up or picking certain paths. Yeah. You know what
if
I'm
your
saying?
Your stat list isn't at least 3 pages. What are you even doing?
I don't know if you need it to be that crunchy, but a lot of people really like the, what is it, in the He Who Fights With Monsters, like the affinities combos, you know what I'm saying? Like, like that is really exciting, and a lot of people want to know what their affinity combo would be and stuff. Yeah. That is more complicated than Fourth Wing. Like, Fourth Wing, and if we had to be a comparison, a sliding scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is like barely any magic, no magic, you know, Bridge to Terabithia magic, and 10 is like the crunchiest lit RPG you've ever seen in your life. Like Fourth Wing is like a 3 or a 4, you know what I'm saying? And He Who Fights With Monsters is like a 7 or an 8.
Yeah. Jesus, where does it put the Fines of the Fall? Like 11?
Well, I said 10 is the crunchiest of all lit RPGs you can even think of. So, but that's what I'm trying to tell you is that. Yeah. I feel like when you go into a romance, no matter what, when a romance is the number one genre, what you're there to see is human drama. Mm-hmm. You're there to see two people who might fall in love. Will they, won't they? Are they miscommunicating? Oh my God, there's only one bed. Are they going to both sleep on it at the same time? But they're so hot. Are they going to make out? You just don't know. You know, like that kind of thing. And that isn't the number one concern in a lit RPG, you know what I'm saying? Like,
And this is how Harem was born, because it's like, it's that, but also numerically the number goes up.
Well, in Harem, though, have you read a reverse Harem, which is the version for women?
Like the love triangle stuff?
No. Like a reverse harem where a woman has like
I am
lovers.
Intrigued. Go on.
Oh, you've never read one. You don't even know this is a genre. Okay.
I do know it's a genre that I thought I had like the wrong impression my entire life. You go ahead.
Yeah, no. In a male harem, right? Like have you read Super Sales for Superheroes?
No, I've read go ahead.
It's fine. In a male harem, what happens is like the main character, I mean, usually starts off kind of weak and then gradually gets his power a whole bunch. And then he starts either saving women or collecting kind of badass women, but then helping them in some way or taking care of them. And he collects them up. They've got different personalities. He loves them all. A lot of the male harems, you know, then they have babies or they're making a house or something like that. You know, they're deeply in love, and it's definitely more about, I don't know, the man being a male protector and like taking all these ladies in. When you read a female reverse fantasy or a reverse harem, it's more about how the men want this woman so badly that they are stopping themselves from raping her 24/7. I don't think I've ever read a reverse harem in which the men weren't like fighting each other to be with this lady or sleep with her constantly. Or a lot of the really popular ones are like, and then she was kidnapped by the mob, and then the entire mob took turns having their way with her, but then they all fall in love with her.
Yeah, because she's that awesome. Yeah,
that's what happens. My God. That's literally what happens, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like if that happened in a lit RPG, I mean, just think about it right now.
just a kidnapping part is like, no.
Yeah, no. Just imagine if that happened in a lit RPG. I could see the outrage from the community because it's kind of preposterous and weird. You know what I'm saying? But it's very common in romance spheres.
I hate success so much. Now I want to write that, but in a good way. I kind of want to see if I can make it work. I probably can't because I'm way too experienced. But still, go ahead.
But this is why, romance is a completely different beast. And I don't think that romance is gonna bust into lit RPG and be like, look at us, because I'm like, dude, there's just differences in romance than what you see in lit RPG, and I don't think they mesh well.
Yeah, I mean, like Ilona Andrews, like they are like kind of reverse harem-y ish, but I think have you read any of them?
I don't think so. I don't. I didn't. You could give me the title of a book. I might know it more than.
Yeah, the I always mistake two of them because like one of them has something to do with tomatoes and the other one doesn't.
I also don't, you know, I guess I'm giving you all this information about romance. I don't really read it for pleasure. A lot of the time I read it for like research. A lot of romance readers are really, really good technical writers.
Yeah.
Like really proficient at writing. Fourth Wing is written phenomenally well. Like the author of Fourth Wing, very good. Very good writing chapter one. Her chapter one is a 10 out of 10 masterclass. What your fucking opening chapter should be in a book. Mm-hmm. Excellent. And I put it in the same tier as Brandon Sanderson's like assassin fight with the king in Way of Kings. Excellent opening chapter. So I've read romance writers because they take their writing really seriously. The problem is that I do not like the content of the stories because I find the content of the stories to be too focused on human drama or things that I just don't give a shit about. You know what I'm saying? Like, huh, buddy?
Doggle.
Yeah, you're a good boy. Yeah,
if you listen to this, there is now a dog.
Yeah. My cute little puppy came to sit with me, and he's a good boy, and he wants scritches, so.
So Ilona Andrews wrote Magic Bites.
I don't think I've read that one, but I have read Love Bites.
Yeah, that's different. Like, there's this like they've written like Magic Bites, Clean Sweep, those sorts of books, and they are actually I think you might actually enjoy them. Not like as a there are romance. There's romance stuff in there. But it's more of like a real urban fantasy, so it's more of like in the vein of like Iron Druid maybe or Harry Dresden kind of. I think you might enjoy them.
Is
like,
it more like Patricia Briggs?
I've heard that name before, and I think doesn't she write like written in blood or written in red?
I was referring to the Mercy Thompson series. So like the Moon Called is the first book in the series, but
I think it's even less than that. Like even less romantic than that. In Magic Bites, she does have like there's like a romance interest ish. And I think she has like two of them or whatever. But it's never really the main focus. The main focus is really about like her bloodline power and solving a crime and doing that sort of stuff. So it's good. I liked it. I definitely like cross over into like the kind of like reverse harem territory when I was reading like Written in Red, which is like like weird oracle. And whenever like you cut an oracle and they bleed, they have like visions. Right, which is like very metaphorical, obviously, and only women can be oracles, and so they go insane after a while because they like they love the pleasure of this thing so much that they just do it all the time. Right, it's and there's like a scene there where like all the monsters out there like really 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 love her. There's no rape, but every time something happens to her, the entire town's like in outrage, and I was like, this happened like 15 times in a row and I'm no longer interested in doing this.
Well, when I said they get rapey, I don't actually mean that they rape the main character, although that, I guess that could happen in some books. I mean, like, their intense need to be with her borders on this is rape. You know what I'm saying? Like, they can't control themselves. That's a very common theme. They can't control themselves. She's so sexy or whatever, you know. They're just so attracted to her that they have a raging heart on constantly, and that's all they can think about, and, you know, like that kind of thing. And I feel like at a certain level, it gets boring. I know that sounds too silly, but when you're 25 chapters deep and basically all that's happening is all these guys barely withholding themselves from being with her, and we've already had like 5 sex scenes, I'm like, okay, guys, can we literally do anything else? Like, literally, I would kill for like a bad guy to show up or anything else for us to focus on.
You know what time it is? That's right, it's a new ad, and this time I have 2 amazing stories for you to check out. First one is my friend Saving Throw, who writes a story called So When Am I a Hero? It's a system apocalypse that is quite frankly amazing. I don't like system apocalypses usually, and I devoured that one, so go and check it out. There's a link below the podcast. The second one is from another friend of mine, because I have 2 friends, called The Infinity Dungeon by Reject Humanity. Premise is actually pretty cool. Guy goes hiking on the Appalachian trails and stumbles into the only and first dungeon in the world, and he's the only person on Earth with a system, at least for a while. All right, go check him out. I appreciate it a lot, and I'll see you next time.
But I must be the weirdo, because these books do sell like gangbusters, you know what I'm saying? Like, reverse harem is a huge genre, so many readers. So clearly I'm the one with the problem, because a lot of people are having a good time with this.
I mean, maybe, or maybe just like it's a comfort food, right?
Yeah,
that's why they are so formulaic.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen, period. Right. It's exactly the same. People are going to hate me for this, but it's exactly the same sort of mental food as a shonen anime. Right. You know what's going to happen. You know that, like, Son Goku is going to win the tournaments eventually. And if he's not, then he's going to win the next one, right?
Android 17 will win it for him.
Yeah. Like, you know that, you know, it's not even his final form. You know, like, right? That's all shit. Like, and this is like, I just finished listening to Cradle 7. So, tournament arc. Yes. Yeah. Right. But yeah, that being said, I do think that Ilona Andrews might be able to really write a good like lit RPG or progression fantasy in that sense, because it's not really romance that they do. It's female-oriented power fantasies. So we'll see. And to be honest, like as every other man or like anyone who's interested in like dating women, I definitely think that it would be great if there were more women whom I could talk to about lit RPG.
Mm.
Right? So, definitely. So, in this case, like, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, but you just got to stay a little bit more open, I guess.
Oh, I mean, I'm not saying that I don't want it to happen. I'm just saying I don't think it's going to happen. Like, this was a
good point.
Prediction, not a telling you what I preferred. Because I would prefer if more lady faces were into all of the hobbies I was into. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
And it's such a cliche question, but I have to ask it. Like, what would be something that you think might make that happen?
Might make women be more into lit RPG?
Yeah.
See, the actual hang-up that I'm trying to tell you that I guess I've not adequately articulated is that I feel like a lot of women steer clear of things like leveling, numbers, hard crunch, or hard magic, because it is more, then you start focusing on the magic. The harder it is, the more structure you have for it, the more you have to focus. If it was a soft magic system where, you know, everybody gets a magical power and this guy can run fast and that guy can fly. You don't have to think about it that often because it's a singular power. You know, you completely understand what it does in a singular sentence. Whereas in a lot of lit RPG, the fun comes from, okay, he leveled up. Now he can either increase his speed by 10%, or he can get this combo power that synergizes with the thing he picked up a few levels back, or he could, you know, save up his points to get a different type of boon. You know what I'm saying? Like, now we are ultra focusing on the magic. And what I'm telling you is that a lot of women don't want to focus on that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Now, again, please, this is not all women. Some women like lit RPG. I like lit RPG. I've played video games my whole life. You know what I'm saying? So when I see those types of things, like I played Dungeons and Dragons, when I see them in a book, they're not weird or foreign to me. And I like focusing on the magic. I like having a hard magic system. I like it when an author can cleverly write a system and powers and the main character can use them in a really cunning or intelligent way. That gets me going every time. I love shonen anime. I want to see Goku fucking punch everybody. I want to see this guy's power over 9,000. But I know that a lot of women, I mean, mostly because I've hung out with them my whole life, don't like that. They want the story to focus on character interactions. And a lot of I have read so many lit RPGs where the main character is alone for like 80% of the book. You know what I'm saying? Except for the monsters that he's killing. And I know in my heart that women would hate that. Or at least a lot of women.
Okay. So I guess like my question was more towards like, hey, is this like a nature or nurture thing, right? Is that something that like culturally has to change first before people are more interested in it? Because like I hang out with a lot of women who do love Dungeons and Dragons. I've dated several of them. I've dated several who don't. So like I definitely agree with you. It is definitely a thing that like is a taste. But I mean, like if you're looking at like Dimension 20 or even Critical Role, half the cast are women. Right.
But even in things like Critical Role, the focus is on all of the characters being crazy and whimsical and character interactions and all this other kind of stuff. Sure, they're playing D&D and sure, there's, you know, the dice rolling and Matthew Mercer does a great job of, you know, being the DM while also flowing with the story. Right. But it is more about the characters.
Yeah.
They like to talk in character. They're all voice actors. You know what I'm saying? They're all voice acting their characters. They get really into their character. They do really silly things. They do crazy over the top stuff. Now, some lit RPGs do that.
Yeah.
And I think Dungeon Crawler Carl is kind of becoming really mainstream because it really focuses on characters and how the characters interact and how they're cool. And everybody loves Princess Donna and they love it when Carl is nice to Princess Donna, you know, and Princess Donna's racist towards dogs. And you know what I'm saying? Like these are funny character interactions that really resonate. I don't know if it's a nature versus nurture thing. I guess I would lean more towards it's, this is entertainment and people gravitate towards what they find entertaining. Okay, nobody comes into school and is like, okay, everybody better start playing video games over the weekend. You know what I'm saying? Like, people gravitate towards whatever they find entertaining. I liked to play video games, but a lot of girls who I tried to get to play Mario Kart with me were like, I hate this. I don't want to do this. Let's go to the mall. You know, like that kind of thing. And then we would go to the mall or something like that. And it's the same with reading. When you go to pick up a book, when you go to Amazon, nobody's holding a gun to your head and like, you better read this genre. No, you just get to pick whatever you find entertaining. And so a whole lot of women have just automatically picked the romance category, or not automatically. They themselves, of their own autonomy, chose romance and a book that focused on character interactions. So I just assume that is what they find entertaining because nobody's forcing them to read it. You know what I'm saying? Now, if lit RPG started super heavily focusing on romantic elements and dropped a bunch of the video game elements and dropped hard magic systems and dropped the system, is it even a lit RPG anymore?
Yeah.
I guess that's the logic I'm trying to say. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're completely true. I'm just like wondering if there is a way of doing that, but that's maybe for later.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess this is one of those things where I would need to mull it over a little bit longer. Yeah. I feel like trying to trick people into reading certain genres because we want them to read it is a little weird, because how many times do we try to get men to read women's literature? You know what I'm saying? It's weird. You know, like, nobody, men don't want to read women's lit. Most women don't want to read women's lit.
Yeah, maybe it's the same reason why harem and reverse harem storylines are completely different, right? Because there is a certain, like, when you were talking about it earlier, I'm not going to be out there going complete, like, evolutionist or whatever. But I think there... The way you described it, it immediately made me think of like certain like genetic predispositions, right? Because as a man, you want to have several women and you want to protect them and keep them all together in like the same place. But as a woman, you like genetically in the past, maybe, like this is a thing, not preamble, like you might have been more interested in having a lot of people like very interested in you. But I think... To be honest, I haven't met a single man out there who didn't also like the idea of having lots of women interested in him and not being able to contain themselves either. But the thing is, like, that doesn't happen in reality ever. Like, there's no precedent for it. Except for certain Berlin clubs, I guess, but still, like, I think imagine you're writing a book, and it's like a guy comes into a room and he's, you know, like he's kind of weak a little bit, but he's very charming, very smart, very competent in his own ways, and there's like a ton of kick-ass women and they all really want him. They can barely restrain themselves. There's something about that feels unrealistic, even if you're doing it as a wish fulfillment fantasy. It's really interesting. I don't know.
I think there's a slight difference too, in that in the female reverse harem, the men are like physically, you know, on her. They hold her down. They hold her against the wall. They hold her. You know, again, it has a very rapey vibe. I don't think I've ever read a male harem in which the man was powerless to stop the women from getting or being on him. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, they should write that.
I don't know if that would be, I don't know if that'd be popular to have a guy who was so weak that the women had all of the power and control. I feel like that would not go over well.
I'm going to be like completely transparent here. And it is TMI for anyone. I'm very, very sorry. But I once dated a woman who was like, 2 meters 10, so that's like 6'5", I think, right? And she could pin me against the wall. It was fucking hot. Like, but she was also like really into CrossFit, so like that was hot. Like, I'm gonna be the first person to say it. Like, still, I don't know. They should write this.
Would you want to be powerless all the time, though? You know what I'm saying? Like,
no. And also, in these romances, and you have to tell me this because I don't know, are the women powerless all the time? Do they have like no agency whatsoever?
It's not that they don't have agency, it's that all of their power comes usually, not always, but from the fact that they can control the men. I mean, usually through, you know, the fact that they want them so much. Mm-hmm. But there is a lot of the story in which the women, you know, the captured by the mob, they were sold to the mob. I've read several stories in which a lady was sold to the mob. That was the actual plot line. And she didn't have any agency then, but the whole point is to get them into these situations that, you know, now there's somebody's sex slave. Would a male story where the man was sold to somebody as a sex slave actually really be appealing to most men? Because that feels
most
like...
Most men, absolutely not. Like, most men are terrified of losing power because that's what they've been taught makes them attractive.
Well, but so in Lit RPG, it's all about like having a ton of power, having all the control, or maybe beating the system or being extremely clever and smart. And that's really fun. I guess for me, I really like it because when I was younger, I'd already told you this, I grew up really, really poor. And my family, there's like a lot of drug addicts or people who, alcoholics. My brother's back in prison, you know what I'm saying? And I wanted to not be like them. So I did everything in my power not to be like them. I went to school. I got degrees. I have a great career. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. You know what I'm saying? And so I made my life better. And that's what I resonate with all of these progression fantasies and shonen animes and like lit RPGs and video games. I really like a character who pulls themselves out of darkness, that pulls themselves out of bad situations, that doesn't allow anybody to tell them what to fucking do, that is not a powerless boob. And in a lot of female romances, a lot of them, not all of them, there are some that are not like this, but they're, I like 80% of them. The female is very powerless in a lot of situations. And that's what's considered hot at some level, because the men get, you know, very rapey and all this other kind of stuff. And it's like sexually exciting for the female. And I just don't see a lot of people who really, really like the opposite, like a guy who gets a ton of power, who builds his stuff up, who levels being powerless to women. You know what I'm saying? Like that would be a very huge turnoff for people who like that style of storytelling.
I think you can make that work if it's like kryptonite, right? We can make this work. And like there's like a tournament arc, and like the last enemy is like a woman. He's like, oh god, I'm fucked. And then he has to power through. But like afterward, it doesn't work anymore. Any other woman could like tell him to like make a sandwich, and he does it, right? That could be funny, right? It could be fun. I mean,
maybe, but this is one of those like, and then you're gonna walk a really tight rope.
Yeah.
For what?
For funsies, where's the challenge? I'm not going to be here, never having successfully written like any Anga Banga number, right? And going like, this is super easy, because it's not. It really is not. I have mad respect for people and I mean this very positively, like people like Sean, for example, or people like Zogarth, Sherlun, even First Defier, like they can write this and make it super appealing over like really long ass times. I obviously have no interest in that, or can't, or both, or either. Like my mind just slips off like whenever I like go into this deep territory. But I like challenges. I really like challenging myself, because I think that I like making things complicated. Like this is why I would lose against your husband in one of those games. Because I would set up like this perfect engine that would come to like would come alive one turn before he wins the game.
Right,
and then it would
yeah.
never kick off. Right? So yeah, I don't know. Brings me to the second question of the podcast.
Yeah. Damn, we got real deep into that first one. What's the next question?
What's the best advice you've ever gotten as a writer? Thank you. I was impressive phrasing.
Best advice I got as a writer. Oh, just finish it. You learn a lot from just finishing your book. A lot of people give up halfway through or really early. They never finish it. If you finish a story, you gain a lot of information. You learn a lot from, especially if you can set the story down and then come back and read it, you know, like a week or two later. You'll start to see how the story came together and where you can improve it. Definitely the best advice is to just finish the book. It doesn't matter if it's perfect yet. You can make it perfect later. You should just finish it.
Yeah, and just setting it down part is really important. I want to add to that and say, the moment you know when the time is right for you to like start editing is when you look at it and you can see the flaws in a detached, logical way. Where it's not like, oh, I'm shit at this, I need to do this better. But where you're like, this has a bit of length here, and that is a bit too long. And what can I do? Like, how many beats do I actually have here? And how can I put them together? That's the moment you want. And finish stuff. Like, really do finish stuff. Yeah. All right. How have you learned that the hard way, or have you learned that like as you go?
Oh, no. I finished a book pretty early. I mean, it was long. It was like 250K words. It was not a short, you know, story, yeah. But I finished it. Yeah.
Okay. It's one of those books that you have in your trunk still, right?
Yeah, I still have
okay. it. Okay, good. Because I did that too, and then published it on Royal Road.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's okay. Like, that's why where the meme comes from, right? People were like, oh, Maddox's going to like rewrite Torchbearer like 50 times. Like, yeah, that's how people have been writing books for like decades. And I'm leaning into it too. But I still feel as though, okay, I could learn more. So I'm going to keep writing the series, and then at the end, going to see if maybe I can salvage it and sell it, but probably not. We'll see. Cool. Okay. Thank you for the very, very succinct and like quick answer here.
Yeah. We got through that one. We did it.
Yeah.
Wham, bam. Thank you,
snap,
ma'am.
Snap. Next one, I think allows it to be a bit more open, I think, is, what's one thing that you learned while writing that changed the way you write, or have you learned anything in the last book that you will now do differently? That sort of stuff.
What have I learned while I've been writing? I guess one of the things I learned is paragraph length. Before, I used to have extremely long paragraphs, like when I first was writing, and I did a lot of research, and even while I was writing, if you read your stuff aloud, you can kind of feel this flow when something is going on too long. So I have definitely shortened down a lot of my paragraphs. I've made them succinct, or, you know, used a lot of brevity so that I can get my thoughts across in less words, to be more concise. We don't want to waste people's time here. And if you have really nice, compact paragraphs when you're writing, some people, like speed readers, sometimes they just read like the first sentence and the last sentence of a paragraph before, you know, just continuing on, like that kind of speed reading. You don't want them to miss a ton of information. And I feel like my writing has very much improved since I realized that.
Yeah. I sometimes find myself also doing that. Like when I'm getting tired, I just like skim and I'm like, hey, no. I want to read all the details. This is good. But yeah. Okay. Anything else that you've learned?
I feel like I would then start to get into like really, really specific, you know, like technical writing things. It's better to write dialogue where you don't need dialogue tags. So if your characters have enough personality that you can know who is talking based on the types of words they would use or the types of things they would say, you have a stronger character then. I know a lot of writers like to use different types of dialogue tags, like he shouted, he muttered, he whispered, he murmured, he, you know what I'm saying? He exclaimed.
Snape ejaculated.
We're just going to keep circling back around to harem somehow. you don't need to do those if the dialogue is written really, really well, because you can tell how they're supposed to be said. But this is really difficult and kind of almost very specific. You know what I'm saying? Like, that takes a lot of thought to really know the character enough to know what kind of language they would use and how to effectively make it so that you don't have to constantly be using tags.
Yeah. Yeah. Interestingly enough, that's something that I've been working on for this next book, because I really wanted to cut down on the dialogue tags. And I do feel as though my characters are strong enough, and I still just like tagged it on there, like as a matter of cause, but of course. So definitely it makes everything read. It feels more professional. I don't know, like, because there's less of interruption in the reading structure.
Yeah.
It just kind of feels more natural. Very good. Okay. What's one book that you love and why is it awesome?
Just one book, just random, any book.
Yeah.
I really liked Island of the Blue Dolphins when I was younger. It is a book about a girl She's like a native on an island, and a ship comes by and takes everybody from her village off the island, except for her and her brother. So they are stranded on an island, you know, living alone. Her brother is then killed by the wild dogs on the island. So then she is left all alone. And so she has to learn how to fend for herself, and she makes her own house. She ends up taking in some of the dogs, like the puppies, and then training and raising them, and they become like her best friends. She's on the island for many years by herself until more people come to the island on boats. It blew my mind as a kid. I thought it was really, really interesting, everything that happened to her on the island. I had not even considered in my tiny, shammy child brain a life in which I would need to, you know, fend for myself and build all these things. Again, I really resonate with characters that pick themselves up by the bootstraps and get things done. And Karana, the main character of the book, even though she's alone, even though she has nothing, makes herself a house and makes herself a life. And I admire characters like that. So I like that. I guess as an adult, my favorite book is Stranger in a Strange Land by Robert Heinlein, which is a science fiction book. But it is like super heavy on philosophy and like human nature and what you're supposed to be as humans and how we should live and what is a more, I don't know, empathetic life, right? I really like the character Jubal Hirschau. He appears in a lot of Robert Heinlein books. He is an attorney. I think Jubal Hirschau is one of the reasons I went to law school, because I really liked that character and thought he was so cool. I like Stranger in a Strange Land because I feel like a lot of the philosophical things discussed in it are interesting. I don't see a lot of books that discuss it. Now, I think it was written in the 60s or the 70s, and it totally feels like a book written in the 60s or 70s. I don't even think it's like a book that I would be like, whoa, it's totally great right now. You know, like, it's more about the underpinning of the philosophy. Not so much the science, you know, like the technology that Robert Heinlein thinks that we'll have in the future. Because the main character, Nick, has like psychic powers and stuff like that. And that was super common in sci-fi from the 60s and 70s. Everybody's got psychic powers. And that's not really a thing, you know, sci-fi doesn't have that so much anymore. But yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, also, like, fantasy has changed in the from the 60s and 70s. Like, today, it's basically every fantasy is, like, Tolkien, right? Mm-hmm. Like, or Tolkien-esque. Like, even
Brando. Not if you
Brando.
Read Lit RPG.
True. Then it's all Dungeons & Dragons. No, I'm kidding. But, like, some of the world building, or, you know, like, a little bit of Pratchett in there, too, right? But, in the 60s and 70s, you had like fantasy books where, you know, people just like walk through like weird random portals and end up in a world that like is made of purple shapes floating in the air and bubbles that talk, because like someone like had like a really, really great acid trip and really wanted to write about it, right? So like that sort of shit doesn't really exist all that much anymore today, because acid is really hard to get by, I guess. I don't know. I've never taken any. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, that being said, shout outs.
I guess I would love to shout out my husband, John Stovall. Mm-hmm. I love him. He's my soulmate. He has helped me in a ton of ways. He is my biggest fan, my emotional support rock. I can't imagine being without him, you know, like that kind of thing. He is a great author. He wrote Demon Card Enforcer that just recently came out. He really loves like Magic the Gathering and card games, and it 100% shows in the system he wrote for Demon Card Enforcer. He really loved making the cards, making them how they work. I really liked Yu-Gi-Oh! Back in the day. This might be embarrassing. I don't know. I've said it on a lot of podcasts, so I feel like if anybody listens to these, they already know. But I have watched every season of Yu-Gi-Oh!, including the stupid ones, like where they're riding motorcycles and playing board games. So I really like Yu-Gi-Oh! And I told John when he was writing this book or designing the system, the thing I hate about Yu-Gi-Oh! Is that the fucking main characters never get involved in anything, like the characters playing the card games. Their monsters can hurt them because they get fucked up by the monsters all the time. Mm-hmm. But they never fuck up the monsters. They never do anything to the mm-hmm. monsters. They're just passive mm-hmm. people on the sideline. And that always irritated me. So John came up with the system. They're called mantle cards. And the mantles can attach to the player in the card game. Mm-hmm. And I loved that. I thought that was great. It was inspired.
Yes.
So yeah, if there's anybody I ever would ever want to shout out, it's always my husband.
Cool.
I love that guy.
You should marry him. Oh wait.
Yeah. What are you gay, Shammy? You gay for your husband? I am.
Yeah, man. Shammy likes men.
Yeah, I do. I do.
Oh man. Okay. Well, on that uplifting note, unless you have other shout-outs.
Oh, I mean, there's tons of people who are just great. Ryan Tang is the guy who, he's the co-author of Mimic and Me. He really loves mm-hmm. Mimic and Me, but he's also co-authored my Crown Tournament books, which are just in my Arcanist series. Ryan is amazing. Mm-hmm. Super talented, very upbeat, very optimistic. He's writing a lot of comedy books because he's a really great, like, he has a comedy book coming out. It feels like a Terry Pratchett type of, like, writing style, which is really hard to mimic. So I'm mm-hmm. really impressed by that. You know, my writers group, every Monday I meet up with them and we exchange chapters and we talk about writing and how to improve our writing and all that other kind of stuff. So everybody in my writers group, but that's like 9 people. They all know who they are. If they're listening to this podcast, they know. They're amazing. Finger guns to them. You know what I'm saying? Like, those guys are awesome.
Yes.
My agent, Drew, is really nice. He's really great. Mm-hmm.
I know the guy.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You know, do you? you know, really anybody who's ever helped me out or given me a shout out or left a review, if they're randomly listening to this podcast, they have also really helped me and I appreciate them. All of my Patreons, those guys are great. Mm-hmm. High fives to all them. You know what I'm saying? I probably could go on for a long ass time. We should probably cut me off now.
45 seconds is the Oscar time, I've learned. Okay. Well, Shammy, thank you so much for being here. We're going to keep talking a little bit more after the show in the bonus material that you can find on Patreon. I got an hour of bonus material for each and every author that I haven't had on the show after the 5th episode. And if you're interested in that, you can just check it out. So it's like more than 60 hours of bonus material talking about everything.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And like at least an hour. Some people have like even 2 or 3 or 4 hours, which is also awesome. Anyway, Shammy, any last words before we cut it off?
Don't do drugs.
Yeah, literally, just don't do drugs.
Winners don't use drugs. Come on, guys.
Thank you, everyone, for listening and or watching. And I'll see you next time. And if you're on Patreon, the show goes on.